It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor this week. Daniel, once again, as a special guest.
Yeah, we have Pastor Bill Hill back with us again, and a lot of experience, a lot of good experience over pushing 50 years in the ministry, and we've been talking last week and this week about falling angels, and this is just, you know, men and women both probably called to ministry, and then things start to go sideways, and first thing you know, there's infidelity and lots of different things that creep in. One of the things we didn't touch on a lot last time, but we kind of kicked the show off that way, and just the idea that people have to account for their personalities, because Christ has saved us and everything is new, but we still have inherent weaknesses, and each personality has its own set of weaknesses and its own stumbling blocks, and there's a certain personality that's called or drawn toward the ministry, and if you feel called in the ministry, you need to be very cautious about that, because it can be other than just a calling. Many people might feel called, but they may not have the temperament for it, the personality for it. They may be rebounding from other things in life, and it just may look good. I've known a lot of young men that were quote-unquote called into the ministry just because they didn't do well in college, or they can't think of any other vocation, or they can't think of an easier vocation, and so they get into a position where people are depending upon them to be speakers of the oracle of God, and they flounder. And when they start floundering and they start to be feeling ashamed or inadequate or something, then they reach outside that to get something else. And as Bill brought out before, you know, a lot of times by that time they have an attitude of, well, you know, the ship is sinking anyway, and everybody stumbles, everybody sins, so, you know, I may as well, you know, go ahead and roll the dice, and yeah. So today we talked a lot last time about the calling. We want to proceed on here. We've got some other points, and so let's talk about making the calling sure. Because so let's say you are called. There are people who are called to the ministry. Bill's been called. We were talking about Billy Graham just before the show opened up here, and how a person like that could be center stage for so many years and be so protected and not, so let's talk about making the calling sure, and this will, we'll talk a little bit about accountability too, but,
sure.
I had some things here. How do things go sideways? I have some quick points here, and then we'll just kind of enter into a dialogue, but I would imagine one is lack of discipline. One is the lack of appreciation of and attention to the magnitude of the calling and our reliance on God's power alone. It's we would think that would be a foregone conclusion, but it's very easy to get out there in ministry and forget all about how I get God's power and start relying on my own charisma and the good things people say about me. And the fact that the church isn't, we're wearing the black, everything's fine, we're paying our debts, I'm golfing pretty good. And then the overconfidence, lack of appreciation for the deceptiveness and the power of sin and my own personal weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So those were just some things I wanted to put on the table. But you've got some points then too, Bill, in terms of discipline and how you make your calling sure, and how you see other people have stumbled.
Well, for myself, like I told you, I in my calling, I felt God had called me to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so, that's what I spent all my time on. And I am kind of disciplined. I was a coach in high school. I coached three sports. I taught in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I taught in community college. So teaching kind of was something that I did. When it came to getting to the ministry, I worked in Young Life, but I never, ever, ever dreamed of pastoring a church, ever. It never entered my mind. And so I started a little Bible study in my home with three people, and that grew and grew and grew and grew. And somebody said, would you consider resigning and being our pastor? And I was married at the time, and I said, I'll talk to my wife because that's I like teaching. I enjoy what I'm doing. And so my call came, it came about in a little bit different way. I didn't pursue a career in ministry.
Right.
I think some of the problems that occur is people pursue a career, and they get confused with a career and a calling. And I'm very convinced if you are called, God will, he'll take you all the way. If you stay with him, stay true to the word. And again, self-discipline is a lot of it. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I also train three times a week. I train other people. All that's discipline. And so I'm speaking from my own life here. And I think discipline is a big part of it. Because one other thing that I wrote down is 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take every thought captive and bring it under the control of Jesus Christ. And so I have to do that daily. The other thing that I do daily as part of my calling is I put on my spiritual armor.
Right. You've talked about that. And that's not just holding the Bible and closing your eyes and saying, I take on the armor.
No. No. And I mean, I put it on daily. And I encourage everybody in the church, put on your armor daily. And one of the things that I make sure I do is put on the helmet of salvation. And the reason for that is I want God to protect my mind, my thoughts, my memory, my recall, everything. And I want to take every thought captive and give it to Jesus Christ. I want to go 2 Corinthians. I want to have the mind of Christ. I think if I do that, I'm protecting myself and I'm staying true to the calling he's asked me to do. I think people stray from that when they fail to do some of the basic things. And again, I talk about staying in the word. So to me, it's a critical, and it's not like, okay, and I tell this well about the Bible. I believe what you should do is read what the Holy Spirit tells you to read. Go through the Bible in a year, fine and dandy. But the problem with that is I would rather have the word absorbed in your spirit. Take time. Let the word speak to you daily and actually direct you. That's part of the discipline. To me, that's part of the calling. And sometimes people leave that behind because they've already arrived at success, quote unquote, and they've got the big church, they've got the big name, they've written four books, et cetera, et cetera. And then they honestly forget the call.
You're talking about the discipline and the routine that you go through. If you've flown with a small airplane in a small airplane, or even the big liners, except if you're flying the big liners, you don't go in and talk to the captains before as they're preparing. But if you've flown somebody in a small airplane, every time they fly, you see them take out the directions, the instruction manual, and they go through it line by line, every single one. And people joke about that. Yeah, he's reading the directions. You know, how safe can this be? But the thing is that there are certain things that you can't afford to miss one thing, and that's what we're talking about in discipline. And you are a disciplined man. So we've been attending your church for, regularly, probably for 4 years and a little bit before that. And the thing is, too, in making your calling sure, if I'm making my calling sure, that's not just about me. It's about the people that I'm leading. And what you see is, and I've begun to kind of observe this, where the character and the nature of the head pastor or the head angelos is reflected in the nature of the people that are following. So if I know a pastor that's kind of, and I was kind of thinking, though, there are, you might, just to simplify, think that there are preachers, there are teachers, and there are encouragers. And some churches are led by encouragers, and some by teachers, and some by preachers. Now, those all have their strengths, and they all have their weaknesses. The encourager pastor, and there seem to be a lot of encouragers in the charismatic churches and the kind of the independent churches, It's kind of an easy card to play. If I'm a charismatic person and people follow me, I'll just be an encourager, you know, and then and I'll just start a church and be an encourager. And you can get along for a ways that. But some of the encouragers that I've known have been, you know, kind of lax in their discipline, not necessarily punctual, not necessarily organized.
Right.
And it tends to reflect in the congregation. So I a lot of times hear people going to these churches and they get frustrated because things are different every Sunday or there's not enough. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. But also there's a kind of a downside to it. So that idea of making your calling sure, it's not as simple as, well, I think I'm doing okay. I need to look at the people and see, well, you know, how is the congregation doing? Because that's a reflection of how I'm really really going. And then let's touch on husband and wives, and that's making your calling sure. If you're a pastor or a minister, male or female, I think you need to know that your marriage is so critically primary.
Right.
If you don't get that right, you don't get anything right.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot put your marriage on autopilot. You never can. So what about accountability with marriage? You know, I talk a lot in our programs about relational distancing and how distance can creep into marriages to where we're not spending as much time together.
Mm-hmm.
We don't enjoy it. We get busy. You know, it's all justifiable. I got to go here and do that, particularly ministers that travel a lot.
Right.
Sometimes that traveling, if we don't keep an eye on it, that begins to serve a default in us that prefers not to be vulnerable, not to be...
Right.
Bill, tell me a little bit about, kind of surprising you here, but tell me a little bit about how you balance. As a pastor, you can't afford to get vulnerable and intimate with all of your... with all the congregation. You don't have the time, and
right.
you just stretch too thin. But you have to balance that. You have to be able to be vulnerable with your wife and intimate and vulnerable with your family.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? I know you and Terry are great friends in addition.
Well, she's my best friend.
Yeah.
And we've been married 47 years. And one of the things that we do is every Friday night's date night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like tonight, we will have a date. We will go out every Friday night, and we'll have a special night together. I love my kids. I love my grandkids, like having them part of the dinner as well. But we have decided that the most important thing is that she and I have a date night, a night together. We share everything. She's been part of the church. She's been part of the Sunday school. Mm-hmm. She writes a curriculum. So we share a lot of those kind of things together.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, if I kind of start to mess up, she's the first person to come and say, Bill, you better watch this. Or, you know, you're getting a little irritable.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she's the first one to actually kind of come besides my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My daughter is the second one, Dad.
Yeah.
So I got some accountability issues
it's great
right there.
It's great. We want to touch on that when we come back.
Okay.
A little bit more. It's great to be accountable to our family members, even our kids. And I think
absolutely.
Sometimes people don't realize that adults can be. So we'll come back and hit that on the return here.
Okay. Well, people are intrigued. Maybe they've been going through something in their church. Daniel would love to talk to you as a parishioner who's having problems, or pastors too. A lot of confidential information shared. And if you don't feel like there's anybody you can talk to, you could talk to Daniel.
And the phone number would be 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. I have an office in Kirkland, office in Edmonds. These radio shows are going to be podcasted at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, but kind of setting aside this week as Daniel is discussing a timely issue with his pastor, Bill Hill.
Yeah, and I hope people will get some benefit out of this and go get the podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. This is we're going to hit this topic just these 2 weeks or so, but it's an ongoing issue. Not only pastors making mistakes and falling off the rails, but home group leaders face the same problems. And actually, it's good medicine for the knaves too.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us that are, if you have a good pastor and he's very disciplined and he's walking the walk and talking the talk, then you want to emulate that. And that's why he's the head of the church. But we're talking about how things so often or quite often go wrong, and what can be done about it. So we've covered in the last week, we talked a lot about the call. We talked about making the call sure. So we're talking directly to the pastors or the cell group leaders, and we've talked about reasons why people might be drawn into these ministries, and so we want to talk a little bit more on. We were talking about the accountability, a bit of accountability. Mm-hmm. We were talking about how important, how critical it is for the husband and wife, a minister and his wife, or the minister and spouse to be, in tune. And that's such a deceptive thing because, there's a 50% divorce rate.
Hmm.
And I do a lot of marriage counseling, but I don't counsel any of the 50% that are divorced. I'm counseling all the successful people and that are having trouble. So there are relatively very few successful marriages. I mean, there are people that cross the finish line, by gosh and by golly, but very few people, I think, understand the purpose of marriage, that this is to, there's a dynamic here that keeps us in the image of God. And now I won't cover this in this, it's not, we've covered this in other shows. Yeah, everybody doesn't have to be married, but marriage is kind of a chief cornerstone of intimate human relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it's very critical. It's not just by whim or accident that the Bible ties these two things together. In the image of God created he them, male and female.
Right.
And
right.
So that's such a critical relationship, and that's where the wheels, I think, start to fall off when ministers go sideways.
Yep.
They've had a history of distancing from their spouse, and they didn't even recognize it. Because they mm-hmm. did it the way dad and mom did it, or something like that. Or there were lots of reasons why. I counsel couples who are just more comfortable arguing than not. and it just becomes the way they do it. Or they're just more comfortable, or they irritate one another easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wind up not spending as much time together, and then she's got her friends, he's got his friends, and they never become the best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, when we were talking earlier, we also talked about this situation where we've seen a lot of profile Christian couples, ministers, where, and maybe the media likes to do it this way, but they'll bring the husband out in front and the wife is kind of back in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be the interview format. And he's answering all the questions, and maybe he'll defer kindly, throw a bone to her. I'm being a little cruel here, but as a marriage counselor, I look at that and I say, I wonder if he really sees her as his equal, and if she has the right to challenge him.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like my wife and my daughter, even I gave my daughter the right to challenge me respectfully, but you have the right to say this, and my wife has the right to say,
mm-hmm.
no, you're way off, but there's something more than that. It's not just calling each other on our faults, but there's something about the dynamic of marriage is such that you never ever get to the place where you don't have to surrender anymore. The man and the woman are built in such a way and wired in such a way that it's constant surrender. And if I've said often that marriage is a dying experience, and if you aren't dying to yourself in the interest of your marriage every day, you're beginning to get further away. So I've sort of preached my sermon there. That's the end of that.
Well, I find that, you know, when God first made man and made Eve, he said, and the two shall be one.
Mm-hmm.
And I view my wife as my better half.
Yeah.
I'm not a complete man without my wife. Mm-hmm. She is all my, where I'm weak, she's strong, if I can kind of flip it out like that. And I find that that makes a perfect marriage, a perfect relationship, because God takes these two different individuals with strength and weaknesses, et cetera, brings them together, and I have become a whole man because of my wife.
Yeah.
And again, I've said this before, she's my best friend.
Yeah.
If I'm getting a little off track, and I'm not saying ministry-wise, but just I'm getting irritable, and she can kind of tell, you know, Bill, you know, just back away a little bit. You know, I can kind of tell you're quick-tempered. And one of the things that I have to deal with in my personality is not to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was joking the other day, and actually I used it as an example of church. Mm-hmm. When sometimes you get mad as a man, you throw things. Mm-hmm. My fishing rod doesn't work, so I just throw it, you know, and hope it'll take care of itself. And so sometimes these issues, my wife's very good at pointing them out, but in a very loving way and in a way where I can accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that relationship between husband and wife is critical in ministry and that we're equal. I mean, you know, I have a calling in the church, but so does my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And even before that, she had a perfect calling in her life. She knows exactly her strengths, and she really uses them wisely. And the other thing, talking about kids, all my kids attend church, and the only problem is they sit in the front row. And so
So you have to tell the truth.
Yeah. If I start to just say something, I will hear about it from one of my three.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of keep me corralled, if you will, too.
You know, I gave my daughter some, you know, my dad was a very strict disciplinarian, and the Lord didn't give me sons to pound on. He just gave me a daughter. And so I realized that I couldn't do it the way Dad did it.
Right.
And but there was a point in my parenting where I saw things kind of going sideways. And so I took my daughter aside and I gave her some tools. And I said, you know, you're free to, you know, to call me on my hypocrisy. And, you know, and faults that I have and mistakes that I'm making, unfairness, I just asked that you do it respectfully, and I'll be okay with that. Well, she held up her end of the bargain. Sometimes I wasn't okay with it. But she would say, if I caught somebody on traffic and I started kind of, you know, giving them a lecture under my breath, and she would say, Dad, you do the same thing. You're just saying that because he got in front of you. And so, you know, so she would just nail me on these things. And if you are not okay with being called on that, and then another area, we're not really prepared to get into this, but also the whole, since a lot of these derailing situations have to do with sexual, you know, adultery.
Right.
It brings up the whole issue of how little Christians understand about how sex should be conducted between the husband and wife.
Correct.
I've heard pastors and their wives call it a recreation, and I just think that is just absolutely upside down. That's a topic I've talked about a lot of sex and marriage before, but that's another thing that's pivotal in a lot of these situations where That's an area I think where if a pastor feels it's not right, he should go and to a Christian counselor or to other pastors and say, you know, if I got this wrong somehow, because
you got to humble yourself to be able to do that. You know, and say be honest with yourself.
Yeah. So are we approaching a break here, Mark?
We're approaching the end of our second show.
All right. So I'm going to thank Pastor Bill Hill. We're already thinking of another way to kind of put the cap on some of this, so we might have another show. And so you're going to ask me what the phone number is.
I'm going to ask you that. How do people, if people are struggling in their marriage, pastors who are struggling mm-hmm. in their marriage, Daniel would love to talk to you, help you get through whatever issue you're facing. And how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, the phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, an office in Kirkland, an office in Edmonds. The shows are podcasted at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And people can email you at
email
that website
me through
as
BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, yeah. Great edition of the Sound Mind broadcast this week with special guest Pastor Bill Hill here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.